let's see, that takes care of those two. All right, so now we move on to the public hearing for the overall county budget, which now includes the compensation schedule as recommended by the Compensation Board. And the procedure that will follow in this hearing is, if you want to come up and address the board or the budget, you will give your name and address, and everybody who wants to be heard will be heard before we go back for a second round through anybody. With that, I will now open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone who would like to address the board on the FY18 Story County proposed budget. Derek, you sure you don't want to get up and say something?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Thanks, Derek.
I'll close the public hearing and turn to the board for action. We've got two possibilities here, board. We can adopt Resolution 1786 as presented, or we can reduce the budget.
I move that we adopt Resolution 1786 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. I'll simply say, Lisa Martley, another phenomenal job. Lucy Martin, thank you so much for your input. We also had Deb Shilroth and Alyssa Wigdahl at either every budget work session or almost every budget work session. It's a really, really good team that we got working through this, and I feel really, really good about the budget that we're putting forward. Anything further, Marty or Morris?
No.
Olson. Loris Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Resolution 1786, adopting the FY18 budget as presented, passes. Thank you, everybody. All right. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of recommended consultant for watershed planning services for the development of countywide scale watershed assessments. Leanne Harder and Mike Cox.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great weather we're having here.
I told Cal when I woke up our house was 55 degrees, a warm 55 degrees.
Well, thank you for getting out of bed.
We're here today to recommend a follow-up on a process that's been going on for a couple months regarding watershed planning consulting services, and we have a recommended consultant. I did prepare a memo on Mike's behalf as well as myself, outlining those firms from which we receive proposals. We receive from four different firms. An evaluation committee was set up, and we chose two of those four based on our initial evaluation to come in and do an in-depth presentation to us. And that occurred a week ago last Friday. Those presentations, based on that, the evaluation committee forwarded a recommendation to both the Conservation Board, and I'll let Mike share what their action was last night, and the Board of Supervisors to select EOR out of the Twin Cities area in the amount of $79,303. And do you want to address what happened last night, please, Mike?
Sure. So the Conservation Board last night considered recommendation of this contract, and they unanimously supported that recommendation and do forward on that to award it to the firm selected by the committee, and that is EOR for the $79,000 contract. The board was very complimentary of the consideration of moving in this direction. Of course, they feel strongly that this is something that we should be doing, and we should be setting the stage for. One of the things that we've said going into this is that we are the only county that's doing this on a countywide basis, and through our process, that's just been reaffirmed. We know that, and so it's. I think this puts us in a good position to to move forward and really identify some hot spots or some priority spots that need some further attention down the road. The EPA has a nine-step watershed assessment model, and this does not accomplish that nine steps. But what this does is address some of those components and put us at a place where we're ready to move forward if that's the direction we need to go for that full assessment.
Right.
So this is essentially us doing our homework and identifying some areas that we know we may need to put more effort into as far as assessment goes. So this is, like I said, this is a really good analogy. This is us putting our ducks in a row and determining where we need to go next for
But would also potentially give us a foundation where we could access some resources that aren't currently available to us as the first county to have assessed our entire watershed.
Absolutely. Until we have some data or have this assessment, then funding is essentially going to be exceptionally hard to find for any kind of improvement project, because the standard has been set in the state for how they distribute funding, and that standard is at a much higher level than we have right now as far as an assessment goes or a management plan goes. This helps get us to that point where now, being the only county, if the board decides to move forward with this, and now being the only county that has that, yes, we are at a level far, far above other counties for acquiring funding.
Outstanding.
I will add, this was a strategy or tasks outlined in the C2C implementation matrix. And so we're following the steps outlined in that plan of attack. Then the only thing we would also ask, that if you do approve it today, the consultant selection, that you direct staff to work with the county attorney's office to bring back a contract next week, so we can get the ball rolling and start work essentially next week as well.
So we received four bids. EOR was clearly, substantially the lowest of those four bids, but EOR has also already done some work in Story County, correct? Talk to me about that.
Story County selected EOR for the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Plan in 2012, and they're currently working with Prairie Rivers of Iowa, RC&D, to do the Keighley Branch Watershed Management. And there's a strong partnership between EOR and Prairie Rivers, and there's also a really strong partnership between EOR and Iowa State and the researchers that have developed a lot of the tools that we're looking for with these assessments.
Outstanding. Marty, questions?
It was a little difficult to hear Leanne, especially. I don't know what mics they're at. I assume they're regular mics, but it was breaking in and out a little bit. But I do want to follow up on the affordability of the EOR bid. I seem to remember that the Squaw Creek, when they bid for Squaw Creek, just to do the evaluation of that watershed, wasn't that over $100,000? Wasn't it close to $150,000?
I think it was can you hear me, Loris?
Yes, I can now.
It was, I think, around $175,000 to $175,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the difference in that case, that was a full-scale watershed management plan that Mike discussed earlier, not necessarily all the components of the EPA plan, but it involved essentially a whole plan and outreach process that may very well be the next step of what we find with our homework and doing the watershed assessments. This is the technical aspect that if I didn't do the exercise, but I imagine if I went back and broke down EOR's exercise for just the technical evaluation they did with Squaw Creek, it'd be very comparable.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that, because I know that our relationship with EOR is good, and I just wanted to make sure that we really received valid bids, especially since it was 145% below the highest bid. So, okay, thank you.
Well, and just to follow up on that, and Pat Conrad, one of the principals of EOR, notes that in the proposal, and he did in the presentation as well, there's an economies of scale at play, too, though, since they are already in the area working at the Kigley Branch Watershed, which is one of our watersheds in Story County. And they've got a very solid knowledge of the tools that we're looking at, so they can bring that and essentially lower the cost.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think the economies of scale here, it's comparable to what we're seeing in concrete with DOT putting in a concrete plant to work on I-35. We're seeing all of our concrete prices go down. The fact that EOR has already worked with Story County once and is in the midst of working on the Kegley branch with Prairie Rivers, I think we're seeing tremendous savings based on that. And we have the advantage of knowing who we're working with and the kind of job they do, assuming this gets approved.
Correct.
Anything to add? Morris, any other questions?
No, thank you.
Marty, no questions. Anything to add? Okay,
no.
So I'd entertain a motion.
I'd move consideration of a recommended consultant for the watershed planning service of our countywide scale watershed assessments, and I agree with Leanne that I'd like to see a contract moving so that it would be brought back for us at next meeting.
So I second.
We got a motion and a second. Yeah, great. Thanks, Morris. Motion and a second to award the bid to Emmons and Oliver Resources Incorporated and direct staff to work with the county attorney's office on putting together a final contract for consideration by this board at our next meeting. Further discussion?
None.
Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Bids awarded to EOC, EOR. EOR.
EOR.
Yep. Next item is discussion consideration of draft capital improvement plan. Leanne Harder.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
What I have, Loris, I apologize that you can't see it. I have essentially the same presentation PowerPoint that I gave in January to the board. Just briefly to be able to address the topics or the items that are included in the draft CIP. As everyone knows, it's a five-year CIP, runs on the fiscal year basis. What process we've been following now for several years, we held true to this year, only we did change the application dates to coincide with the budgeting. So that we could maybe make that process a little bit more smooth, which I think it did work very well this year, and having them go hand in hand. I'm looking at Lisa, and she's shaking her head, yeah, yes as well. The CIP, as before the board, does continue to address or define specific terms, capital assets, projects, etc. So that's nothing new. I'm going to just delve right in. The projects that are in the draft CIP for the
board. Yeah, before you delve in, let's spend just a minute, Leanne, talking about what the county did before we instituted the capital improvements plan and why this is more helpful to the county in terms of planning what our major expenses might be in the future.
I'm trying to forget how that worked. We didn't plan, pure and simple. We were more reactive than proactive. And I know the example that has been used for several years is the roof on this building. We went several years delaying the ongoing maintenance or the ongoing replacement, and then not to be too wrong with it kind of bit us in the butt. And so now we're able to stay ahead a little bit and be proactive and know what the larger investments will be. Lisa can accordingly budget and have the discussion both with the board of supervisors and other elected officials and department heads, and then the general public too, so they have a knowledge of where the tax monies are going to be accordingly spent in the coming 1 to 5 years.
Yeah. So, and I'll jump in right there. When I recommended that we institute a CIP, My frustrations were that we dealt with large dollar issues only during the budgeting session. We really didn't have an opportunity to deal with them outside of that. And we dealt with them on their own rather than comparing them to other large dollar issues. If we needed something in secondary roads, it didn't get compared to something we needed in the auditor's office or in the Justice Center. And it was really frustrating for me as we tried to build a budget to think that every year we were just going to have a project, and if we denied it this year, it was probably going to come back again next year, and if we denied it next year, it's going to come back. And we never compared them. We never had a roadmap for what our next X number of years, in this case 5 years, might look like. And so I was really pleased when the board, I think it's been 3 years ago, 4 years ago, decided that we would move to a capital improvements program plan. And I really think it's been beneficial, not only in any 1 year's budget, but in looking at what our impacts might be going further out, and in comparing an item in conservation with an item in secondary roads that we were never able to do before, and really start to prioritize, okay, how are we going to get these things done, and where are the dollars going to come from?
Rick, and if I could comment on that a little bit, because I find we still probably have some tweaking to do here. I'm very pleased, yes, that the county is on a capital improvements plan. But as I go through even just the terms and definitions, I'm not clear looking at last year's plan and then this year's that we're looking at approving going forward. I'm not clear where capital projects, the definitions say result in economic activities. And I think we need to get rid of that, because if you go down and look at what's actually on this proposed five-year plan and what was on last year, there are several that you really can't say are projects for proposed economic activities.
I think maybe we're transposing different programs here. These are items of major capital expense by the county, but I don't think they have anything to do with any kind of economic development activities.
That's in the definition. So I'm just proposing that we get rid of, it says capital projects result in economic activities that lead to. Let's get rid of result in economic activities that lead to, and just say capital projects lead to the acquisition. Are you with me on that?
I think they are economic activities, but I'm not defining economic activities as being public economic activities. They're economic, even if they're in-house economic activities, we've got to figure out where the money's coming from and how we're going to pay for anything we might do.
Okay, all right. From that sense, yeah, so yeah. I am reading this. I'm not necessarily reading that it's for the public economic activities. I am, though, saying that, quite frankly, like the upgrade in the animal shelter is not truly an economic activity. As I view it. The other thing in general with the plan, before we start talking about every year, is you brought up secondary roads, and I'm not clear why the Grant Avenue project is on here, but we have other large paving projects. Why would we put one particular paving project on and not other?
Depends on where the funds are coming from.
And then the follow-up from that would be, we were pitched two projects during our secondary roads workshop, which appear to be large ones, the 560th down Huxley, and then we heard about around the area of the expanded east industrial expansion, talking 220th and 600th. And if we add those later on, later on when we do our roads workshop, then do we come back and amend the capital improvements plan again? That's where I'm saying I think we need to tweak this about what goes on and what doesn't go on.
So, this Leanne, this year on page 3, there's a statement that says, The CIP adopts a five-year Story County Secondary Roads Construction Program, updated and adopted annually by reference.
Right.
Prior to this year, we did not include that statement. And so the Grant Avenue paving and the 190th Bridge were projects that were substantially sized enough that the prior board felt it very important to include into the draft CIP.
And using general fund dollars, which are available for other type projects. So the 600th paving is using federal dollars, which are not available to any other projects.
Correct.
So I think in coming years, because the draft CIP has that language, adopting by reference the road program, I don't anticipate very many road paving projects will actually be listed as a project in the CIP. We'll adopt them by reference, by including that reference to the draft road program.
Right. And I think we need to be clear from the public standpoint about if it's a road project, it makes more sense that the public go to the road our five-year secondary roads plan. I hear what you said, Rick, about where the money comes from. But if you go down and you take a look at some of these other projects, and I'm going to bring up the Jordan Wildlife Center.
Yep, sure.
And out of that so far, it looks like only $25,000, if they don't make their fundraising goal over conservation, will be coming out of public funds. The rest of that is all from grants and private fundraising. And yet we've got that on. So from that standpoint, if we put anything where public funds are used and there's only $25,000 on, if we only kick in $20,000, it doesn't even apply then to our old limit of $25,000. That's why I'm saying is about cleaning up what is in fact a capital improvement project that is not covered under some other type of program. I think the Jordan Wildlife Center, it does go on here. I think conservation projects do go on here, but I don't think secondary roads goes on here.
Well, and the only place I disagree with you there is I think any project that either utilizes or has the potential to utilize general fund dollars in excess of $25,000 need to be considered as part of this plan, because if we use major general fund dollars for something like a road, then it's general fund dollars we can't use somewhere else. And again, trying to get to the level of comparison where sometimes, Lawrence, we've got to say either this or that. And if we're saying either this or that, then it's fair to have the comparison. And so I don't know that I agree that things like the Grant Avenue paving should not be part of our future capital improvement plan, much like Grant Avenue entered our capital improvement program via the five-year road plan, and I don't see that changing. But any project that's going to utilize or potentially utilize some major general fund dollars, I believe needs to be part of this, or else we're not comparing apples to apples anymore.
Okay. Even if those general fund dollars would be out of the percentage for secondary road funds, is what you're saying. That it doesn't matter what subdivided pot of money or
yes,
allocated pot would be. Okay.
So we know we're going to transfer at least 75% of the maximum allowable into secondary roads. We may do more than that, but we know we're going to do at least 75% every year.
Right.
But when we do it, again, we're still getting into the either or. That 75% that we're transferring to secondary roads, that's the money to keep the lights on and keep the plows running and replace the bridges we have to replace, not the ones that we should be replacing necessarily. And when we go beyond that, when we pull additional general fund dollars, it means that we're not doing something else with those general fund dollars. And those are the conversations that I think it's important that we have on multiple occasions, both at the staff level and at the board level. And that's the reason that I would be in favor of those things remaining part of the capital improvements program, because we get to look at that Leanne, four times a year we get to look at this. We get to look at that secondary roads thing twice a year. We get to look at capital improvements program items four times. I think there's a huge benefit to the public to having the board review things multiple times, and that's the reason I'd like to continue to have them on here.
Okay, well, thank you for the dialogue on that. Given that perspective on it, it makes more sense to me, and maybe I'm the only one asking right now.
I think that's great. All right, Leanne, now we've gotten through the general. Take us through the specific.
Well, and before I get to the specific years, I do want to just touch on the public outreach component, too, that we put in play again this year. I brought this to the board towards the end of January. At that point, the board directed me to, one, put on our website for public comment and do some social media presence with it, too, and also to send out packets with several copies to all the libraries and city halls, along with comment sheets throughout Story County. I did not receive any public feedback, either via email or hard copy. But we did keep that open until actually last week. I delayed closing it for one more week so that we could allow opportunity for additional comment. Okay, specific projects. I'm going to just quickly, the current fiscal year projects, there are 12. These are all that are currently in fiscal year 2017. Then year one, we go into 2018. Do you want me to list all the projects? How would you like me to?
Board, what's your preference here?
I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I mean, it's all been available to the public. It's all part of the packet. Morris, what's your preference?
I'm fine with her with not listing each one, and we can just pull out the ones we want to talk about.
Okay.
The one note I will, then I'll jump to, are there any questions on current year projects?
Laura, any questions for FY17 projects?
No.
Okay, FY18.
Fiscal year 18, there are 11 projects in the draft that is before the board. Initially, the draft included 12 projects. The cabin at Dakin's Lake has been removed based on Conservation Board discussions and direction. So that is the only change in the fiscal year 2018. Are there any questions on fiscal year 18?
Yes, I have one. I chose not to ask it in 17 because I assume we will have an initial discussion still before June, but just in case, or before July. But the Justice Center project, when we're now looking at that, and it says new project construction with $2.1 million in 2018. We haven't even decided if we're going to do that. Also, we need an updated number, I believe. So those are my two questions about it being in 2018 with a $2.1 million price tag on it.
Yeah, so I think I would start with, I think you're 100% correct that we don't know at this point what, if any, work is going to be done at the Justice Center. So that was a project that was put together, has it been 3 years ago, Leanne? 3 years ago, and I want to say it was a $1.6 million price tag at that point. A lot has changed in the meantime. And so what doesn't make sense, Morris, is if the board decides to go ahead with the looking at the design work again, so taking it out, mm-hmm. dusting it off, and looking at it in 17, then it only would make sense that it would be with the intent to do something in 18, because if you do the work again in 17 and you don't do anything in 18, then you're just going to get back into the same situation where you've got to go back and dust it off again in order mm-hmm. to get ready. We don't know what kind of scope that project is going to have, what kind of cost it would be. We have a reasonable idea of where the dollars would come from if we got to it. But just because we put something in here for 18 doesn't mean that it automatically happens if it's not in our 18 budget, and this is not in our 18 budget at this point.
Got it. Okay. Just wanted to point that out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the way the draft plan before the board addresses that, there are, I should have said this earlier, I apologize. There are in the Immediately preceding the item in red text, it says item to be discussed during calendar year 2017, and then the dollar amounts are TBD. We've not
right.
Any
okay.
Dollar amounts.
Thank you. Yeah, I may be looking. The program I'm using to view this slide or view the draft is taking out some of the notes and notations. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So, and all I would point to on the Justice Center renovations is that original plan was a different board and it was a different county attorney. This board is going to need to fully weigh in. I mean, I think a good starting point is the work that was already done by a previous board and a previous county mm-hmm. attorney. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's where we're going to end up, if anywhere. And we really don't know what kind of cost we're looking at until this board comes to some kind of conclusion of what the scope of the project might be.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Outstanding. Any other questions on 18?
No.
Okay. FY 19. Morris, any questions on 19?
The ISU Research Park Reef space construction, in there, we still don't know how we're breaking out the funding, so that seems to make sense in there with it to be determined.
Okay.
So thank you.
Yep. Good. Leigh, anything on 19 you want to note?
No, only two items on
19. Items right now, right?
Yep. And then we get to 2020. We have three items, two of which are that red notation that the board will be discussing the project this calendar year, but not the TBD item again for both of these.
Absolutely. Morris, any questions on 2020?
Well, yes, and it may be applicable for 2019, but we already are planning on two of the sheds being replaced for secondary roads. And I was thinking in 2020, would we be ready for another shed to be replaced, or are we pushing them out even further?
So are you talking about the outbuilding storage?
Yeah, the outbuilding storage for secondary roads. We've got Kelly and we've got Roland on, which,
right.
You know, whichever one goes first, we'll go first, and then we got the second one on. But now we're in 2020, and we haven't addressed the other two locations that, as my understanding, we're gonna try and consolidate down to only four. So do we have rebuilds or remodels on the other two that we're planning on having long term?
So one of those two is our shop in Nevada, and clearly
mm-hmm.
we're not. I mean, we've stayed on top of that one, so there's not a whole lot to do with that one. And the
okay.
other one is in Southeast Story County, and I think it's actually in pretty good shape right now. And so there hasn't been the impetus to put it on there. As far as the outbuilding storage that we have listed in there in 2020 right now, that's not a secondary roads project. That would be a combination of sheriff and facilities project that we'd be talking
mm-hmm,
about
right.
in 2020.
Okay, so, but we don't have any more roads, secondary roads related. And then carrying out the ISU Green Park, Research Park, that's just because we don't know how the funding is going to go beyond our $4 million that we've kind of all talked about, not voted on, but talked about. So I appear it's there on 2020 and 2021 in anticipation that conservation is going to go out and do some more fundraising or increase the project later on?
I think in anticipation that there's going to be more work to do during those calendar years, even if it's beyond the scope of the $4 million that the county has already committed. One of the projects that Conservation put in, that $1.6 million that came from Energy Transfer Partners, is the possibility of utilizing some of those dollars in one of these fiscal years if necessary. And then there's going to be some things that Conservation is going to have to look at doing by normal course of project for conservation in terms of getting the prairie established and doing some things like that, but it won't be from the original $4 million in funding that the county has committed to.
Okay, so then what I'd like to suggest is that for 2020 and 2021, we take out potential funding source as a chip and just leave it conservation reserve general fund.
So I think I agree with you. This is Rick Sanders talking about whether I agree with you. I think I agree with you that the county, that I would not be in favor of the county utilizing TIF in 2020 or 2021 for any of that project. But it is an available funding source. Even if, and you know, we could have a different board of supervisors sitting here. So although that doesn't say what we're using for sure, it says what might be available to be utilized. And that, I, again, just full transparency, Loris, I want to make sure that we have everything out there that's possible to be utilized, even if we don't necessarily intend to utilize it at this point.
Okay. So then let's add instead there for that one would also be conservation reserve, would also be concert, it was at the general fund. Let's go ahead and put in private donations and grants. That would be the entire span. I am so concerned from my 2 decades as a journalist. I watched in so many different jurisdictions these plans that were only guideposts that supposedly could be adjusted. I watched as they went further on that all of a sudden whatever was written on paper became just stone. And as I said, you're right, it could be a different board, but I even watched it happen with when the governing board did not change, then arguments come forward later on, well, it's already in our plan. So I'm just very sensitive to that.
Sure, and the beauty for you right now, Loris, is you're one of the decision makers, so you can make sure that doesn't happen.
Right.
Leanne, anything else?
2021 is one project, and then 2022 we have two projects. The only thing I do want to note is that since this draft was initially done in December and January, ISU Research Park Green Space has been officially named the Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor. So I'd like, if it is approved today with the modification, that we reflect that name.
Absolutely, and I think that's appropriate. I will point out that on 2022, we've got the administration building infill addition construction, and that has been on our capital improvement program, I think, from the first year, and it just keeps hovering right there 5 years out, 5 years out, and so that happens pretty frequently. That happens occasionally where you get something in the pipeline, but it never moves up in the pipeline. Mike, you came up.
Well, I was just in lieu of that conversation that you were just having, in 2021 and 2022, we have phases 2 and 3, respectively, on the Research Park project, and we might want to just remove those phase numbers in reference to what you just said, that phase 1, 2, and 3 will happen prior to that.
Absolutely. Yeah, just it's construction of the Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor. Yep.
So just take out the phase.
Yep. Take out the phases.
Okay, further comments or questions?
I have a question about procedure then. Since I asked for some changes in description, and then Mike just said that, do we send it back to Leanne for a week to ask her to make the changes, including the Tedesco Learning, the TELC change, so that we can go ahead and then approve it next week with the changes that everyone's talked about?
Lisa, is there any problem with the capital improvement program getting held off for a week? Yeah, I think that's fine, Morris. So we'll ask Leanne to take the changes that we've come to here today, put it back together, and put it back in front of the board for final discussion next week. Leanne, we don't need the full presentation next week. We just need to talk about the items that you changed and what we're looking at right now. Okay, so we don't need any action there. We can just give that direction to Leanne. Anything further on the capital improvements plan before we move on?
No.
Okay, discussion and consideration of Resolution 1788, Mud Creek Estates Residential Partial Subdivision.
Good morning, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Good morning.
Wouldn't be a meeting without you guys.
Got a lot going on in Storytown.
We sure do.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is a request for a residential parcel subdivision. The applicant the applicants are Rod and Jean Beanfang of Maxwell. And the property is located in section 35 of Collins Township, located at 72999 340th Street in Collins. This is located right on the Jasper County, Story County line here in Collins Township in the southeast corner there. It is about 3 miles southeast of the city of Collins. So the current zoning of this property is A1, as is all of the surrounding zoning. There are about 6 single-family dwellings within a half mile of this property. 2 of those are in Story County, and the remainder are in Jasper County. 11 of the parcels within a half mile in Story County do meet or exceed the 35-acre minimum for a single-family dwelling in the A1 district. So those parcels would be candidates for zoning permits for single-family dwellings. The proposed subdivision is 2 lots. There's an existing residence on lot 1 here that was built in 1996, and there's a proposed residence on lot 2. So just an image of the plat. Proposed lot 1 is 11.24 acres, and proposed lot 2 is 23.91 acres. These are fairly large lot sizes. I might add right now that lot 1 is currently configured as parcel E. So there really is no division taking place with this request. We're really just allowing lot 2 to become a buildable lot. So just some background, further background on the property. There's a farmstead built in 1915 that was split from the original quarter-quarter on a 3.85-acre parcel in 1981. The dwelling on proposed lot 1, or existing parcel E, was built in 1996. Recently, in 2016, parcel E, containing that dwelling, was divided from the remaining 35.15 acres through a plat of survey based upon the land evaluation site assessment score exception to the 35-acre minimum rule in the A1 district. So when this was done, the remaining 23.91 acre parcel, or proposed lot 2, was not considered to be buildable. In order for the property owner to sell this parcel as a buildable lot, a residential parcel subdivision was required. Okay. Here's access to proposed lot 1 looking north, the driveway looking north up to the house. Here's looking east along 340th Street. Again, Story County is on the northern side of the road, and Jasper County is on the southern. Here's looking south into Jasper County, and then west from proposed lot 1. Proposed lot 2 is to the west here on the north side of the road. Here is looking northwest from proposed lot 1. This is, and I'll note in just a minute here, this is really the dividing line between the two proposed lots. As you can see, there is a change in topography as well as quite a few trees is a natural area. Here's proposed lot 1 and the existing dwelling. Again, this dwelling here was built in 1996. Here's the access to proposed lot 2 from 340th Street looking north. Looking east from proposed lot 2, lot 1 is on the north side of the road. Here. Looking south from proposed lot 2, there is an existing dwelling immediately south of proposed lot 2. And then looking west from proposed lot 2, this is the original farmstead that was split back in the 80s. This is the proposed lot 2, the future dwelling location. It's set back a little bit, and I can show you. The proposed dwelling location is immediately to the east of this utility easement here. It's in the center of the lot. So the applicable regulations would be the Story County Residential Parcel Subdivision Plat Development Regulations. We're looking at creating two lots. It must have existing access. There's no land set apart for streets. It's in the A1 district. Must be one net acre each. No variances will be issued for meeting the zoning requirements. And the existing parcel shall not have been created through a previously approved residential parcel subdivision. We do have an alternative compliance request with this residential parcel subdivision application. The minimum are Chapter 86. We have a bulk regulation that states that, I guess I'll just point out the second part, the minimum depth for a development lot shall be 100 feet and that the depth shall not be in excess of 3 times the width. This is a little issue or a quirk in our regulations. When creating a lot, there's this 3-to-1, a maximum of 3-to-1 ratio that's required to be followed. However, when you're creating a parcel, this is not the case. So back at, in last year, when parcel E was split off from the 35 acres, it met all the requirements for being to create a new parcel. But when now the request to be a lot, it doesn't meet those requirements.
What's our rationale for the 3-to-1? Jerry, any idea what our rationale for the 3-to-1 maximum is?
To kind of focus on the land inside, like the right of way, so you're looking at planning of not only.
You can close the microphone.
Sure.
It has a lot to do with like future planning and fully utilizing the land from like the right of way inside. So I mean, that's part of why we don't support flag shaped lots. And this is kind of somewhat like that.
Okay.
But with this, you know, we had a lot of discussions about it. You know, is it something that we overlook? We decided quickly that we can't just overlook this. Is it something that the Board of Adjustment should address through a variance appeal? Read through that. That's not something that they can address. So
we would handle it if we choose to through alternative compliance.
We thought that was the best approach.
And that way we deal with each one of these kind of situations on its own merits.
Yeah, and I think there's probably going to be an amendment with regard to this so this doesn't come up again. Because, again, there's nothing that's changing with the configuration of this lot. It was a parcel, now it's a platted residential lot.
Okay,
and just to add, the configuration was chosen to follow the natural contour of the land, as I showed in the site photos. There's a pretty steep elevation increase immediately to the west of the access to propose that one.
And is that why this area was determined to never have been buildable back? I mean, it wasn't deemed to be a buildable kind of situation?
When it was created as parcel E?
Yeah.
Typically, when we look at the exceptions to the 35-acre minimum lot size within a quarter, we will allow the one exception to be used. We wouldn't allow the lease exception to be used again on the balance of the division, if that makes sense. So typically we don't are double dipping in the exclusion or exceptions. Some comments from the interagency review team. We just had a comment about the alternative compliance request and some notes for the surveyor to put on the plat. The Story County floodplain manager, there is a creek that runs through Mud Creek, runs through the property. And the floodplain manager wanted to note that any development within this area would require a floodplain permit.
Okay.
Notice letters were sent to property owners within a quarter mile of the proposed subdivision. on March 7th regarding this meeting, and we did not receive any comments regarding the division. Some analysis. Proposed lot 1 doesn't meet 3-to-1 width to depth requirement. However, this is an existing parcel, and there's not going to be a change in its shape. One additional residential lot is to be proposed to be located on lot 2, and the existing dwelling will remain on proposed lot 1. There's no property here currently in row crop production, so none will be taken out of production. Both proposed lots have frontage on 340th Street. All requirements of the residential parcel subdivision regulations are met, and this property is not located within 2 miles of any city. So our recommendation is the approval of Mud Creek Estates residential parcel subdivision plat as proposed with the alternative compliance requested, which is alternative number 1.
Super. Thank you. Questions for Emily?
None. Thank you.
Laura, questions?
None. Very complete. Thank you.
All right. If there's no questions, I would entertain a motion.
I move adoption of Resolution 1788 for the Mud Creek Estates residential parcel subdivision.
And we're taking alternative compliance?
Yes. Yes, we will have that.
Absolutely. So the motion includes taking alternative compliance.
I second that with the inclusion.
Yep. All right. So further discussion? Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. 1788 passes. Thank you. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
No departmental reports, no other reports. Public forum number 2, opportunities for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. The board won't take any action due to the open meetings law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us? Seeing no one moving to the microphone, liaison assignments and committee meeting updates, and Laura, let's also make an announcement. So everything you've got, let's do it right here.
All I'm going to announce right now is that the projected publication for the first version of our story in the Sun is moved back to April 14th to allow for enough time for Leanne to work on all the content and for us to contract it.
Super. Thank you for working.
And drop it for you.
Thank you for working on that. How long are you gone the rest of the week?
I'm gone the rest of the week.
Okay. Well, have fun. Thank you.
Marty,
the Anytime Assignments Committee meeting updates.
None. Looking forward to seeing what the state's REC numbers are here later.
Yeah, it looks like it's not going to look good.
I think it's going to be very good.
I don't have anything, so I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 We're adjourned. Good job, everybody.